Daniel Bernhardt, how are you, mate?
I'm great. How you doing?
It's did so I say good your name right?
You did.
Bernhardt.
That DT bit at the end that confuses me.
It does. It's
like, do I pronounce the T or do I not?
You do. Bernhardt.
Bernhardt. Okay.
Yeah. I guess. Whatever you like. I don't know. I never even thought about it, but now that you're saying it, Bernhardt. Yeah. No, it's a T.
Bernhardt.
It's a T. Yeah, Bernhardt.
Well, thanks for doing this.
I think I'm very lucky that you're interviewing me. So I think I'm the lucky one here.
I know. We're all lucky because we're going to get to hear some great stories about your career in action movies, which has been over 20 years, right?
It's been more. 95 was my first film. So more, 25, you know, long time.
Can you tell us what your martial art background is?
You know, I started out as a young boy. I was probably 15. Actually, I was a soccer player. My sport when I was a teen was soccer. I was like the biggest soccer player you can imagine. That was my thing. You know, you as a fellow European, you know how it is.
Is everybody this plays in soccer. Switzerland?
Yeah, Switzerland, yeah. Born and raised. Yeah. But I was never that good. And with 15, I kind of stopped. And I met a guy, a buddy of mine, who was a martial artist. And he just kind of started showing me some stuff. And I was like, it was really bizarre. Whatever he did, I just did, and I could pick it up, and I learned it really fast. And I became I got this crazy passion for martial arts. And I start training every day, and whatever I would do was martial arts. And then I just kept training. Huge Bruce Lee fan, of course.
Same for everyone, and that sort of...
Isn't it the same? And you know, it's really funny. Still today, my favorite weapon...
The nunchucks. Oh, it's everyone's favorite weapon. Who are you trying to kid?
My favorite
weapon. We hit ourselves in the balls and the head many times with a pair of nunchucks.
I know. So that's how I started. And then I just continued doing it. And I just felt a very strong love for it. Never thought about movies. Never thought it's going to take me where it takes me, which is kind of crazy. You know, where if you think about where you started and now where you're at, it's insane.
What were the specific styles that you were training in when you were a kid going into your 20s?
You know what? It was really funny. You know, back home in Switzerland, there really wasn't any martial arts around. There were very few people. And the first guy I met, he kind of had a mix of kung fu, a little wushu and JKD. But I think my feeling is they just learned on TV, to be honest. I think they just learned
on TV. As they went along.
I swear to God, and I will never forget this. The guy who first taught me, I swear to God, after like 3-4 months, I started to beat him. He showed me what he was doing, and it was all this kind of like Bruce Lee stuff. And I'm sure he just read a book and learned how to do it. And then when I was about 16, 17, I met a guy who was a kicker, and he started to teach me how to kick. And I realized that my talent was in kicking just because of my size. I'm 6'3", got long legs, and I just started to kick.
But are you naturally flexible? Because you are very flexible.
It's something that I was very, very lucky. I never really had to like force stretching. It just happened. My mother was a dancer. My father was a boxer. So it just kind of came naturally. And I just started to kick. And that was my thing. And then I would say in my teens, it was kind of like kung fu, JKD, a little bit of kicking. But then, interestingly enough, in my 20s, I got into the fashion world. I became a model, lived in Paris, London, Milan, New York. And wherever I went to a school and I just started to learn different styles. When I was in Paris, I learned savate with a French guy and kickboxing. When I went to New York, I learned Kyokushinkai and boxing. When I went to Miami, I just boxed. And then, which was one of my most fun things I've ever done, in my late 20s, when I got the opportunity to come to LA and got picked for Bloodsport 2, our producer put me together with Grandmaster Heel Cho. So it was actually the first time that I got a chance with 27 to study with a master. I studied under him for many years. I became a black belt with him. And that
I was reading his books. I had.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, because Taekwondo was one of my main things. You know, I had all the volumes.
You do? I swear to God. Master Cho became a very, very close friend. He was a mentor to me. without him, I'm not sure if I would have stayed in LA, but he kind of gave me, you know how it is. You know how the business is. It's crazy. It's very, yeah. very tough. I came yeah. here when I was 27. People offered me a movie. They said, oh, we're going to make you the next guy. You get Bloodsport 2. And I'm like, what's the catch here? Something is not right, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're. And then it just, and then it didn't happen. For like 2 years. So I'm sitting in LA waiting for this movie to happen.
So you were offered Bloodsport 2 and then it didn't happen for a couple of years.
It didn't happen for 2 years because
when I did you get discovered for that then? Was there an audition? What was the crowd?
You know, it's really funny what happened. I mean, you got to laugh if you hear how I got the job.
Come on then. I want to hear it now.
It's crazy. So think about this. I was in my mid-20s, huge martial arts fan, biggest martial arts fan you can imagine. Loved Van Damme, loved Bruce Lee. I got a job for Johnny Versace to do a commercial that Bruce Weber, who's a very famous photographer, shot in New York. And I was cast to fight opposite Jean-Claude.
All right. Okay.
You didn't know that, did you?
No, for a commercial.
For a commercial. So they were looking for models who could fight, and there were not many. So I remember, I will never forget this. We were in New York at Bruce Weber's loft and Jean-Claude comes in and that was the Bloodsport 2 time, kickboxer time. And we all were just like, oh my God, this is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
He was super cool. He was the nicest guy you can imagine. And he came in, he goes, hey guys, what's going on? And he looked at us and he goes, hey, who can kick? And I went like, and he goes, show me. And I go, whoosh, 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 whoosh. And he goes, all right, I'll take you last. So that was my first experience to actually fight in front of the camera. Never done it before. Didn't know about anything, no angles, nothing. So him and I did a little fight, took a reaction. I kicked, he kicked, I died, whatever. And I just, at that moment in life, I had an epiphany. I just knew this is what I have to do. Phone call. Somebody calls, hey, listen, this is the producer of Bloodsport 2. We want to offer you the part. And I'm like, yeah, that's really funny. And I hung up the phone. I thought it was
for real.
I swear to God, I hung up the phone. They called back and they said, no, I'm serious. We want you to, come to LA, talk to us, see if there's an interest. Ironically, I had a job back in Miami, flew to LA, met with the producer, went to his house. And it was so funny. I will never forget. I walked into the backyard. He was laying out there by the pool, like a typical producer, you know, tan, the gold chain, the Hawaiian shirt. It was funny. And then he basically offered me Bloodsport 2. And I signed a 5-picture deal. But you know how that is. It was all kind of.
There is a similarity between you and Jean-Claude, of course, because, you
well,
know.
I take that as a compliment.
And, you know.
What accent are you talking about? Dude. What is it? Yeah, you know, when I was younger, actually, if you look at my brother looks even more like him than I do. But right. if I see pictures of him, I go, oh, I can see it. But if you see us next to each other, we don't look anything alike.
No, but it's like you're built, you've got the good looks, and you know the parts. Yeah. Well, I've been told that I'm a stereotypical good-looking white martial arts guy as well.
I love it. And you are.
You're not the only one that's gone on the coattails of Van Damme either.
I know.
Yeah.
Later on, I got the chance to meet Van Damme again, and it was really, really funny. I actually found out that he was kind of putting everything on hold, but he was telling everybody that he will do it. So they kind of had me on hold and wanted him to do it. Yeah. But then in the end, he couldn't do it, and then I did it. And that's just life. You know how it goes.
That's smart business.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, yeah. Look, I mean, he's the man. You know, he was so, or still is, so amazing what he did in Bloodsport and Kickboxer. And
yeah, I mean, it completely blew the doors wide open, didn't it? I mean, before him, there was like, I suppose, Chuck Norris, and then bang, the new guy.
It was Seagal. After Chuck Norris, there was Seagal.
When they were at the same time, though, him and Van Damme, really. That's the way I remember it. Late 88 above the law.
Maybe you're right. I kind of remember Seagal because Seagal was, or you know what? You're right. I think Seagal was even after Van Damme.
Maybe, yeah.
I think it was first Van Damme because I remember it was first Van Damme, and then I remember Seagal, and it was so unique what he did with his Aikido. I thought it was very, very cool.
We'd never seen anything like that, had we? It was incredible to see. The first four or five movies that Seagal did were like incredible. And I personally loved how violent they were.
I got a kick out of that.
I mean, it was cool.
Breaking the bones.
Yeah. Seeing it in all its gory detail. In England, they were always cut, chopped up, the violence. So you try and get like a copy from somewhere else that had all the violence. I used to love it, man.
Oh, they cut it? Oh.
In England, yes. Now, Daniel, I'm going to show you something, okay? Sure. And I just want you to go down memory lane just a little bit.
Oh, my God.
See this?
That's so funny. God, I'm like, God, look how young. You know what's really funny? You look at this stuff, and it kind of still holds up. It's a little bit, cha, cha, cha. It's a little bit like that. But
it's a product of its time. But you know,
it is.
It's, I mean, if you look at Bloodsport now, it's you know, it doesn't compare to what we do these days. But, you know, this is the way it was back in the late 80s, early 90s. When I look at the Bloodsport fights, it looks like it was filmed in that sort of basic American way of filming fights with the master and the cover.
Three cameras, one side, always. And at the time, do you remember Philip Tan?
Yes.
Yeah, Philip Tan was the fight coordinator, stunt coordinator. And, you know, there were so many fights. And it was pretty, like you said, kind of standard covered. We always had three cameras on one side, three cameras on the other side, do one wide master. And we shot full masters.
And did you film the whole fight sequence from beginning to end?
You know what? I don't remember exactly, but I do think we already did sections.
Okay.
Which is much smarter.
We're going to do from this point to this bit, and then we'll do the next bit. And
combination 1 to 7, cover the crap out of it. Move 8 to 12, cover the crap out of it.
Yeah.
I pulled my psoas and floating ribs, and just got wrecked. And you know how it is when you do these fights; you just go all day. You go, and you know it's actually, and I know it happened to you. It happens to everybody. The one time I got really badly hurt was actually fighting with Chad. And do you remember Chad had long hair? Do you remember him?
Dude, I've seen some footage. He was in one of the Bloodsports, right?
This is actually a good story. In Bloodsport 2.
Chad, we're talking about Chad Stahelski for people who don't know. Chad Stahelski is the director of the John Wick movies.
And one of the most gifted martial artists you've ever seen in your life. Have you had a chance to train with him?
I've had him teach me and take me through some drills at 8711, but I've not actually.
Then you know. So you know.
Yeah.
I've never.
Badass.
I know a lot of incredible martial artists. I've never seen anybody in my life who can show you 10 different martial arts and he's an expert at everything. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's really crazy. But anyhow, so we were, Philip Tan was our fight coordinator, but he had so much work. I think we had like 40 fights in the movie. So he gave Chad one fight to do, which was the fight against me. And in the end, it turned out that the fight that Chad choreographed in Bloodsport 2, me against him, was actually my best fight in the whole movie. Because there was a lot of trapping, a lot of kicks. I don't know if you remember. It was really cool. It was actually a very, very, very cool fight. And Chad had long hair and he was wearing his stretchy pants. Incredible. And I remember we're doing the fight scene and I was working already like 14, 15 hours and I'm just kicking all day. And I would just not stop. I was like a Terminator. I would just go, go, go. And I remember I'm really tired and I'm doing this going through roundhouse kick and I come back with a hook kick. And I go through and I go, oh man, I'm dead. I can't bring it. And I'm trying to bring it back. And I just rip my body and I just hear pop.
Here was it.
Right there.
Yeah, I've done that. I did it on my last film, Debt Collectors, actually. It wasn't that bad, but I hurt something.
Oh, it's the floating ribs. You're basically screwed. There's nothing you can do.
It took a long time to heal, for sure.
Well, they gave me about 4 days off. Then I just put a brace on it. And I did. And my left leg is my good leg. So the rest of the boots, you too?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, why is that for you?
Which is very strange. I'm actually right-handed, but I'm left-footed.
So if you were playing soccer, would you favor your right foot?
No, left foot.
Oh, if you're playing soccer. Oh, you're just weird then, Daniel.
I am. You know what? It's so funny. That's exactly what Chad says. It's really strange. I'm like crooked.
My left leg is best because my left leg is flexible. My right leg is not because I've got one leg. My left leg's longer than my right. So that's why I favored the left because it was more flexible. But
does it give you hip problems?
I've got some lower back problems because of it. Yeah. Not hip yet. Anyway,
what was amazing is I remember I'm throwing the kick. I'm coming back and I hear it pop and I go, oh, and he goes, are you all right? I said, no, I'm fine. So we continue and I have to do a front kick. And I remember I'm throwing the front kick and I just hear like pop again. And I literally collapse into his arms and he just grabbed me. And he goes, you got to stop. And he put me on the ground and he goes, put ice on it. And I remember I was in Thailand immediately. They brought me to the hospital and we just did cortisone. And like I had 3-4 days off and then I just put a brace on and then I finished the rest of the movie.
Well, I can't believe they gave you days off.
They did.
I mean, I just did myself up in films and I got no day off.
Yeah, it was impossible. I mean, we did other stuff. We do acting and walking and talking. Yeah. We just switched the schedule around. I mean, I literally couldn't move. Yeah. I was like this. I couldn't even move.
This is the thing. I mean, when you do a lot of martial arts films, a lot of action films, the odds are, in some of the movies, you're going to be injured.
Always. It's not even a question.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time. But then there's some movies where you've got a serious injury and that sucks and you just got to deal with it and keep going, right?
Well, I mean, that happened to me many times too. It happened on The Matrix, happened on the Escape Plan. Every movie, you get somehow hurt. But it's usually, I mean, look, it's like a pro fighter. They never go into a fight 100%. I would say... You and me, we probably go into a film, 70, 80, maybe 80%?
Go in injured.
Right?
Yeah, from like 10 films ago.
Exactly. So you just do what you do. You be as careful as you can. But you know after the film, you do rehab. And that's what I do.
These days, my going to the gym is the first part of it is all rehab.
Yeah, me too.
And then maybe I'll try and build some muscle.
Yeah. But you know, I got to make you a compliment. I have to be very honest. When I saw you first, I remember, I know Isaac and he invited me to a screening and I remember, I forgot which movie it was. You were on a motorcycle.
Oh yeah. Special Forces.
Special Forces. I remember you came up with that motorcycle and I go, damn, who is that? I must kill it.
No, listen, let me tell you something. I was so naive when I did that film that I thought to myself, okay, I'm an SAS guy. I'm living out in the wilderness. I'm on a mission. I wouldn't have cut my hair. So I let my hair grow a little bit. And then I thought, well, maybe I should cut it. I'll tell you what, I'll let the makeup artist sort it out. You know, they're professionals. They know what to do. And then I get there and nobody like does anything with my hair. And they just say, no, you look great. You look great. And then throughout the whole film, I've got this stupid bouffant. And that very first shot where I take the helmet off, all I saw was a complete mess with terrible hair. So I'm glad to hear that you thought it looked like
that. For me, it was the exact opposite. It kind of reminded me of, remember Marlon Brando and Steve McQueen when they came on the bike? So funny, you worried about the hair and we're going like,
yeah,
we
well,
must.
The insecurities of the actor were all the same.
Isn't it funny? But what I wanted to say is, I remember it was probably, I want to say, did Isaac direct in Undisputed?
Yes.
So then it was Undisputed. I think I went to another screening and I saw you kick for the first time. I don't remember Special Forces really, but I remember when I saw Undisputed and you start and I saw you kick, I was like, holy crap. Now I really have to kill him. Now we have to get rid of him. Too big of a threat. I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
No, but it was really insane. Like I'm a pretty good kicker, but I could never do those kicks you did. It's impossible.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you know, I'm the generation before you. So I was inspired greatly by, of course, Bruce Lee and then Van Damme and yourself and, you know, like Lauren Avedon at the same time. And then we begin where you guys leave off. And now you've got, you know, someone like Jeremy Marinas, which I look at the kicks he does and I'm like, Jesus Christ, how is that even possible?
Flipping, which is insane.
Yeah, the trick is that.
You worked with him, right?
Yeah, in close range.
Right. Yeah.
And he was phenomenal, phenomenal. But what I'm saying is the next generation are going to begin where the generation before finished. You know, they're going to, it's always going to go like this, isn't it?
But let me ask you this. What was your background where you learned all those crazy kicks?
Well, Taekwondo was the main martial art when I was a teenager. Okay. And then I went into kickboxing.
Okay.
But, you know, I would just watch movies, Hong Kong movies, and I would see a new kick and I'd be like, oh, I want to do that. And, you know, you would just go and you would train and you would practice and just keep going until you could do it. And I went to Wushu. I did some Wushu to try and get...
Oh, you did Wushu?
Yeah, to try and get more of the, you know, the 360 butterfly kicks. I mean, you know, back then, no one, you didn't know, we didn't know much about Wushu. It was a kind of new thing in England. Now, the first time I ever saw a 360 butterfly kick was Mark Dacascos in Only the Strong, where he was meant to be doing capoeira. I couldn't understand what this kick was he did. But, you know, I just watched movies and copied Jackie Chan films. And
that's amazing. It's actually, Chad always tells me, goes, Daniel, that's one of your best movies. Chad Stahelski was the fight coordinator, and Brad Martin, who's that guy, was actually the stunt coordinator. They did it together. And, you know, back then, True Vengeance to us was kind of like an homage. That's Brad Martin. True Vengeance was an homage to the Hong Kong movies like Hard Boiled and The Killer, and we just loved. And we shot this movie in 24 days. We did sometimes 120 setups a day.
Wow.
And, you know what, look, I mean, still... this was fun. This was so much fun, I remember. It was awesome.
So how many days did you have to shoot this fight here? Was this a day?
Not a day. It's probably a day. But yeah, the whole shoot was 24 days. But you know, what was always so fun to me, I would always bring my guys, my buddies, and we were like a little team back then. It was Chad Stahelski, myself, Brad Martin, and Tim Rigby, who doubled me. And we would just be a little team and do all these movies together. And then they became massive. They became superstars. And then I kind of lost them. How old were you when we did Matrix in 2000?
How old was I? I was just getting into the business. My first job was 99. So 2000 and I don't know.
Oh, okay.
When were you filming that? 2003?
Yeah, no, 2001. Came out 2003.
I was jealous.
You were?
Yeah, because I wanted to be in the Matrix. Come on.
Yeah, but you know what? Look.
I wanted anything at that point. I was just getting started. You know what I mean?
But I'm actually surprised that you should have been in the Matrix. I mean, you really should have been.
I should have been in Matrix 4. Well, where was my phone call?
Where you're not?
No, I'm joking.
You
I'm
should
not,
be.
I'm not in it, though. Not? There's a lot of things I should have been in. But, you know, we as actors think we should be in everything, right? Interesting to hear about, because you've had a different career path to a lot of people, because you started off, bam, Bloodsport 2, the sequels, and, you know, you're thrust into the limelight as the star of these, you know, very famous martial arts films.
Extended action movies, yeah.
And then I guess there was maybe a dip in the career, and then you found you went into the stunts and... Just talk 100%. About that, if you don't mind, please, Daniel.
No, 100%. You know, this is actually really funny. If you think about it, I started out being an athlete, martial artist, who learned how to act. That's what I was. I was never an actor. I never came to Hollywood to be an actor. All I wanted to do is martial art movies. That's all I was interested in. But I knew, hey, listen, if you want to get into the business, you got to learn how to act. So once I got the job to do Bloodsport 2, immediately I went to acting class. Immediately I met with Grandmaster Hill Cho, started training, and prepped myself for 2 years for the movie. Once Bloodsport happened and there was kind of a career happening, I did a lot of lower budget independent movies. But immediately, no, I stick with the acting, I did my training, but I always saw myself as like a martial arts actor. I never said, hey, I'm an actor. I felt more like a martial arts guy who gets a chance to act. But I took the acting very seriously. I went to drama school for 10 years, and I just what I did. Then, like you said, after all these lower budget action movies, Bloodsport 2, Bloodsport 3, Bloodsport War we don't talk about, True Vengeance, Perfect Target, I had a whole bunch more. Yeah. In 2000, the casting happened for Matrix. And I remember Chad Stahelski called me and he said, hey, Daniel, I want you to go right away. Call your agent. They're looking for parts in Matrix Reloaded. And I called my agent. I went in and I thought, oh my God, this is it. This is like very secret. Nobody knows. I show up. Everybody was there. Everybody who knew how to kick, who had a certain height. You had to be 6 feet just because of Keanu's 6'1". You had to be 6 feet and you had to have a certain look. There were like hundreds of guys. Lucky enough, I got the part. I did Matrix. And then, you know, Matrix came out. Everybody was like, oh my God, this is the big break for you. And I was like, not really. Didn't happen.
It was quite a big part in the movie, wasn't it?
It was okay. You know, it was a good fight. It was a good part, but I don't think it was big enough to make a splash where there were too many stars in this movie. So I even took a publicist and all of that, but it didn't really. But anyhow, so like you said earlier, the career, like the low budget movies kind of went away in the early 2000s. They just disappeared.
Yes.
I was very lucky. They just disappeared. I was very lucky. I got a TV show called Mortal Kombat, which was amazing. That was one of the most fun times I had. Then I did my
training. How many seasons of that did you do?
One season, 24 episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got canned, unfortunately. It was very sad. Then I remember I did another TV show in 2003, kind of like a soap. But then it got a little bit, business went kind of down. You know, nobody did the low-budget action movies anymore. And I couldn't really jump over into just acting. And I went like, what do I do? And I called Chad and Dave and I said, hey, guys, look, I want to do your world. And they were like, no, you're an actor. I'm like, I'm not an actor. What are you talking about? I'm not an actor. I'm an action guy. And Chad goes, yeah, you're an action actor. That's what he said to me. Action. You're an action actor. Yeah. So I went to 87-Eleven and I just start training with the guys. And I just put myself on the same level like everybody. I'm cleaning mats. I'm cleaning the floor. I'm training all day. And I got into the world of more action acting. And that's when movies happened like Parker, John Wick, Atomic Blonde, which was probably one of the smartest things I could have done. It was one of the most amazing things. Imagine being on the top of the truck, being in Matrix, fighting Lawrence Fishburne, who is a legend, who is just incredible, the most amazing guy. And he did most of his own stuff. That was, I got a bloody lip right here.
Is it all green screen, this?
All green screen. We're probably 20 feet up. And there was nothing around. There were just lights around us. That was...
What was the experience like for you working with Yuen Woo Ping and his team?
They're tough. And you've worked with them. You know how they are. They're
they don't mess about.
Hard, stronger, harder.
And you won't get a pat on the back when you do a good job.
If
you do a bad job, they'll definitely let you know about it.
Oh my God. You cannot screw up. But, you know, they were great. I learned a lot. And it was probably one of the most fun things I've ever done. I mean, look at this. Look at the business we're in.
It's insane. This was such a huge movie. And this sequence is fantastic. How many days to shoot this fight?
It was a long time because we did everything. We did green screen. We did motion capture. We did a little bit of everything. I would say, I mean, I don't really remember, but I would say probably a week. If I could guess.
Yeah.
Probably a week.
He was getting fully stuck in Lawrence Fishburne.
I know.
It's not easy, is it? And he's doing
it. Look how good he is. And that's all him. I mean, that's really all him, except, like, of course, the hard hits, but it's all him.
Is he good at remembering the choreography? Did you feel safe?
100%. He was, and you know what? He was an absolute gentleman. I remember when Chad Stahelski did the first Matrix, he did it somewhere in 1998, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Or six.
In 1999, it came out, so 98.
I saw like 97-ish, maybe. So I remember... I worked with him the whole time on all the movies we did. We did like five movies together. Then his career just blew up. He started doubling Keanu. He went with him to do Matrix. And he came back. And I remember he told me, you got to see this movie. When I saw the first Matrix movie, I tell you, I was in the movie theater. I was literally shell-shocked. You too?
Absolutely. It's one of the best action films ever
made. I was sitting in the movie theater... Like, I couldn't move. I was fascinated. I was blown. I actually sat to, I watched it again. I watched it twice back to back.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I remember it vividly being in the cinema and that moment when Neo, he's getting the shit kicked out of him by Agent Smith. And he looks at the stairs as if to think, I better get out of here. And then he just looks back and he says, I'm going to take him on. At that moment, I remember that in the cinema being like, come on! It would that film will get you like that. It is brilliant. And for me, as a Hong Kong movie fan of all the martial arts, to see a Hollywood movie take that Hong Kong way and show it in all its glory was like, wow, this is what we've all been waiting for. Now Hollywood's doing it the right way, right? That's the way I felt. And then there's those shots where, you know, Keanu Reeves is going to hold the helicopter and then she's swinging towards the camera. You don't know that there's a window there and the glass breaks. Shots like that.
It's just
amazing.
And that was probably the first time when I saw that movie, I was like, damn, I really wanted to be in this movie. You know?
Tell people that don't know about what it's like to be a part of 8711, who are now the greatest fight team in Hollywood.
So, you know, I always say 8711 is my home away from home, and I'm absolutely blessed that I can go there every day. I mean, I go to 87 every day. That's what I do. When I'm not working, we're there by 7:30. We train with Chad. We do our judo. We do our jiu-jitsu. We do our kicking, our boxing. And when I'm not working, I'll probably spend about 4 hours there training, just learning new things.
I'm very jealous of this, to be honest, because I know that if I was living in LA, I would be there all the time because, you know, the amount of talent. And yeah, you were talking about Chad Stahelski earlier and how many martial arts disciplines he's learned and is aware of. And if you're part of 8711, you are required to train in all these different styles, right?
Right. Of course. And, the great thing is, like, everybody has something to give. Like, for an example, right now we're into knife fighting. We're doing a lot of sword fighting. We're doing, Chad is really into jiu-jitsu, so we're doing a lot of jiu-jitsu. And this is something, and I tell you this, and this is something Chad, we, you know, every day we talk about movies. It's something he talks about very vividly as well. He says, all of this doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. What people remember is, remember Bruce Lee going like that, doing this. They remember moments. The in between, all of this is great, but Nobody really remembers, you know? But they remember the moments when you stop, when you turn around, when you look at somebody. People will remember that.
The acting, yes. Those little touches like the... Yeah. It's very true because the general public, you know, a punch is a punch, a kick is a kick.
Yeah,
you know, if I've done a 720 with a kick on the end, it might as well have been a 360 as far as they're concerned.
Nobody knows. I mean, it is, I have to say, to me, who knows the arts, I'm like, holy crap. What just happened?
Well,
I'm looking at the wires.
On the flip side of that, when you think about something like John Wick, you know, you can be a legitimate judo player and you're watching John Wick and you see legitimate moves going on and, you know, perfectly executed techniques. And so you can enjoy it on that level. But then if you don't know anything about it, you're just going to enjoy it because, you know
you're saying it's really cool what they've
done well. Yeah.
That's actually what Chad did. He brought in a whole new game. Chad and David Leitch, they both brought in this new game for John Wick, like this whole new way of fighting nobody else did before. And people kind of went like, oh my God, that's so, they called it Kung Fu, you know, a whole new world.
Yeah.
Gunfighting with judo and kicking and punching.
It's very difficult to create something new. Everything's been done before, right?
Right.
So when you can do that, I mean, that's a testament to how inventive and creative you are to be able to, I mean, you know, we've kind of all seen it before anyway, but it was changed and wrapped up in a different way. There is something that we'd never seen before. And that's very difficult to do.
I call it being, you know, that's why I really enjoyed, I really, really, really enjoyed your last movie, Avengement, because in the past I've seen you kick a lot, which is great. But in Avengement, and I actually had this conversation with Jesse, I just loved that you didn't kick. You threw like one kick, I saw, one or two kicks.
More of a brawler.
Exactly. Even those kicks, to me, I was like, I don't want to see any kicks. I just loved it. You were just like this crazy guy throwing punches, grabbing guy, headbutting. It was so good. And that, to me, I always try to form my the way I fight around the character. So I try for every guy a little bit of a different style, you know, not always do the same. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. No, exactly. You've got to tell the story first, and you've got to portray the character the way the character should be portrayed. I mean, for me, it's like I have a fan base that want to see a certain thing. So sometimes I'll get a script and it's like, okay, we need to add a bit more action and some opportunity for me to have fist fights, because I know that, you know, I'm not stupid. That's what people want to see. But I will do it around, you know, who is the character and what type of fighter is he? And, you know, you can have a great fight that's, well, like your fight that you have in Parker is a brilliant fight sequence, and it's very rough and very, you know, realistic. And there's no like fancy kicks or anything fancy, really, but it's a great fight because it's so intense.
Yeah, Jason is awesome. You did a fight with him, right?
Oh, that was fun. Yeah, it's fantastic to work with. He's so
just great. Here, that was a fight scene, actually, second unit directed by David Leitch. He brought me on, had to audition for the part, was very tough, very big director. This, we went at it like crazy. I think we shot this fight in about 2 or 3 days. Very, very, very cool fight. Jason, absolute stud, did almost everything himself. He's so gifted, so talented. I mean, he goes for it. I mean, we were knocking the crap out of each other. I mean, look at that. I threw that guy. Oh, it was just great.
Yeah, it's hardcore fight sequence.
That's a vicious.
It's these, like, these little gags here, like using the environment around you, making it really messy.
Yeah, we went from the living room to the bathroom, back onto the balcony. And there was actually a very interesting little story about this, where Taylor Hackford, who directed this movie, I don't know if you're familiar with him, huge director, was nominated for Ray. I had an audition for him, and he goes, oh, I like what you did. I really like you, but I have one request. I said, you need to do all your own stunts. And I said, of course, I always do. It's no problem. He goes, well, you're going out a window. And I said, sure. Okay. What do you need me to do? And he goes, well, I need you to go out of the window and I need you to go down 300 feet. And I'm like, okay. He goes, can you do it? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, absolutely. No problem.
Yeah. Give me the job and then I'll think about it.
I'm like, of course I'll do it. No problem, boss. Yeah. I went to see David, and David goes, yeah, he really wants you to do everything. I said, all right, I'll do it. No problem. I mean, you know, how hard can it be? I'll be on a descender. I go down 300 feet, no problem. So David Leitch comes up to me and he goes, hey, you sure you want to do this? I said, he goes, look, I'll get you double if you want to. And I said, I promised. He goes, you sure? Okay. They hooked me up. I go, how hard can it be? I'm going backwards like this. I'm not even going nowhere I'm going. The stunt coordinator, Mike Massa, is a very good friend of mine. Mike goes, all right, Daniel, for the first time, I want you to go head first. And I just remember my heart kind of went like, just dropped a little bit. And I'm like, okay. So they harnessed me up. And they had a whole, this massive setup, all these rigs on top of the building. It was like a 27, 28 story building. And I was like, okay. I thought I'm going to go up, and they just dropped me. And I'm like, no. We pull you from the bottom. I'm like, okay.
Oh, so shit.
So they hooked me in. So I'm like,
long ride up.
I'm like this. Here, I'm like this. And they hook me up and they put you on in kind of like a V. They pick you here on the neck and they pick you on the bottom so you don't break your back. It's like this. And they pick me up, they pull me up, and you're hanging there and you're going like, all right, it's 5 feet, 15, 30, 50. You're kind of going, okay. And you're on a wire this thick, like this.
Yeah.
100 feet. 300 feet, you're looking down, the wind is just blowing you over like this. And it was in Boca Raton, and I just remember the boats were like this, like big sailing boats, like this tiny.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really scared, I was just more kind of excited. And then I remember David Leitch came up, and he goes, he's on top of the building, and he looks over with this big grin on his face. So you still want to do it? And I'm like, yeah. Well, he goes, well, here's your chance. I can take
it. I'm already doing it.
And I'm like, I'm up here. And he goes, all right, 3, 2. And I just heard the countdown, 2, 1. And I just remember this, whoop, I'm dropping. And I just felt my stomach kind of going like, And it took 1 second. And then I'm like, holy crap, this is unbelievable. And I'm going down playing Superman and just flying and screaming. And I just remember David screaming down, going, don't have so much fun, God damn it.
Did you have to do it again?
I did it probably 20 times. So the last part was where he just kicks me in the head and I just drop like from 300 feet to like 250, only a little part. And then I remember that was actually, I got a little bit unlucky on that one because I took too much of a head reaction. I went like this and my whole body tilted. So imagine I tilt like this, but my legs went that way, my knees, and I get dropped. And there was a little bit in the building. The building was like this. And there was a little bit of a ledge like that. And my knees just went, bam, right on that ledge.
What about that? Oh,
my God.
That's a bad one.
I tell you. And thank God I had hard knees on. It would have completely shattered my knees. But I got very, very, my knees were this big. That's a good story. What happened the next day?
What?
The fight in the apartment.
Of course.
Of course.
It would happen that way, wouldn't it?
We did first the fall and then we did the fight. So I showed up with two knees.
Bad knees, yeah. What are your memories of this day?
That was really fun. I love Keanu. He is such flying armbar. We just learned all judo, all jiu-jitsu. I'm a huge Keanu fan. I just love that man. He's such an awesome. That was really cool. That was cool. He did all of that. He's just such a wonderful man, and he works harder than anyone you can imagine. I work pretty hard. He works hard. That was pretty rough here, huh? He works harder than me. He will do it 50 times if he has to. He will not give up till it's perfect. Such a dedicated man, so talented, such a great actor. He really created this incredible franchise with Chad together and David. And look at that. I mean, he does everything.
It's amazing because, you know, we know how difficult all this stuff is. And he could certainly take the easy route as the actor and call in the stunt double. I mean, I know that's not the way Chad would want to do it.
This is actually a funny moment right here where he's choking me. I'm telling you, I'm leaning in. Look at my eyes. My eyes are popping out. I really wanted him to choke me. And he did. And it was great. And I have a funny story about this. I keep going back to Chad and I go, hey, Chad, so I'm coming back, right? And he goes, you're dead. I said, yeah, but why? I mean, he just choked me. He goes, you're dead. I'm like, no, but you know what? I mean, I have this idea. You know, I could come back. I'm not really dead. And you're dead. You died. It's so funny.
What really impresses me about John Wick, I mean, obviously all the gunplay and everything, but the idea to take what is really a very basic, simple martial arts style, judo. I mean, it was the first style I did as a kid.
And you did?
Yeah, I was 10 years old. Judo was the first martial art I did. But, you know, you wouldn't necessarily look at judo and go, oh, that's cinema. That is very cinematic. But well, that's what they've done.
The fight scene we did in the club, do you remember that fight? I haven't done Masters in a very, very long time. But we had no time to shoot this fight. We probably had 4 hours. Chad and Dave come up to me. They go, Daniel, pad up. You're going to do two Masters. I'm like, what? Whole fight. We did the whole fight twice from the beginning to the end, every move. Right. I swear, I thought I had a bloody heart attack.
It was strategically placed camera angles and...
they knew exactly what they wanted. We just didn't have time. We just needed to get what we could.
It's not rocket science, is it?
It is not.
Pretty simple. But I think the difference is... You know, obviously, guys like you and me, we've been training martial arts all of our lives. We can perform and do something that only needs to be just captured from a wide. And we're going to make it look good because that's what we're trained to do. And I think that's what The Matrix changed about things in Hollywood, where it said the way Keanu Reeves and the rest of them trained for The Matrix so that they could do it in a wide and make it look good like they would in Hong Kong. Really, I think that's what started this whole movement of 8711, bringing in actors and saying, look, we're going to teach you to do this for real. We're going to train you until you're good enough. And we're going to shoot it in nice wide shots that show the action in all of its beauty.
Yeah, you watch Keanu. I mean, I see him all the time. He trains hours and hours and hours to become who he is, and that's what it is. But I think in the end, it's really about just capturing, you know, if you really think about it, it's not much more different than an acting scene. You know, you don't want to start doing bah, 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 all of this cuts in an acting scene. If the editing distracts you from the fight, it's not good. You want to just kind of sit back and see what's happening. And if you have to cut, you cut. But don't do it too much.
Yeah. It's much better to have a slow push in.
Yeah.
Face as you recognize the emotion building in his eyes and we see what he's going through than just, you know, a load of nonsense. And depending on the style of the scene, I suppose. But
100%. And every director has a little bit of a different style. Ah, by the way, you and I are up against each other.
Oh, yes. Should we talk about that? It's been postponed.
My friend.
When are we going to find out? So, what are we up against each other with, Dan?
We're actually both nominated for Best Fight for Stunt Award, Taurus Award. And which I think your fight is fantastic. The one I did with Jason and that was directed by David Leitch and Greg Rementer. If you look at this fight, now in that fight, David liked more cuts. It's just a different style. And it was fine, but it was more the style of the movie. They wanted it a little bit more cutty. And I think Jason likes that as well. In Parker, we went with longer shots, which I kind of like. But it's depending on what movie you're making, what style, you know?
I prefer less cuts. Well, the edit should be in the right place is what I like. But yeah, I'm bringing up the Taurus Stunt Award. I'm very happy to be involved in that because, you know, there's Hobbs and Shaw and there's Captain Marvel and all these big movies with $150 million budgets or whatever.
It's amazing.
My little movie that we made on a shoestring budget. And for this, for the stunt community to recognize one of my films, cool. I'm very proud of that. That means a lot to me.
It should be.
Doesn't matter about who wins, but just to be recognized in that way.
It never matters who wins.
Yeah. Trust me to be nominated the year of the COVID. Tell us about Fetch then, Daniel, a short that you directed.
Yes, sir. Fetch is something that's very, very close to me. In 2006, had a little bit of an injury, you know, like how it is. We get injured. I had to take off for about 4 months. And I just wanted to do something productive. Went up to Chad and Dave and I said, hey, guys, I'm really thinking about trying to direct something. Got the support. Chad and Dave just opened 8711. Dave helped me finance it. Chad helped me with the second unit directing. David came in and said, hey, I'll star. And I wrote the script. I wrote it, directed, produced it. And it was probably, I have to say, one of the most fun times I've ever had in my life. It was amazing. Yeah. And the great thing is if you do a film and you direct something, and even though it's just a short, it's all in your hands. Everything in that movie you see is exactly what I wanted. It's a vision I had, and everybody supported me. And of course, I was very lucky that I had talented guys like Chad Sahelski and David Leitch supporting me.
It's kind of like a private eye, almost film noir type thing, isn't it?
That's exactly what I wanted. And I, at the time, I was really, really inspired by Guy Ritchie. I was a huge fan of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Huge fan of Get Shorty. So I wanted to do something that was a little bit more fun. Funny enough, I started out writing it just as a hardcore action movie. And the more I wrote, I was like, oh, no, I want to make this fun. And I have to give a lot of credit to David. And that's Chad Sahelski. That's David Leitch.
So these are the two directors of the first John Wick, for people that don't know.
Two of the big stars in the world right now directing. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, he knows how to sell a punch, that guy, and he knows how to deliver a punch. That's surprising.
Oh. And you know, and actually the driver here was Tim Rigby, one of the best stunt drivers.
That is a blatant, look at me, I'm actually doing this stunt.
And he did it. I wanted it. I mean, he wanted to do it himself, and I always thought it'd be really fun because in every film you see this, but then everybody goes, "Oh my God, it's not the actor, it's a stunt double."
Yeah.
And I freeze frame on him, so we know it's him.
Hey, listen, if it's good enough for Jackie Chan, it's good enough for the rest of us.
Exactly. I remember David Leitch calling me and saying, hey, Daniel, I want you to play a guy. I want you to play the soldier in Atomic Blonde. I was like, oh, wonderful. Charlize Theron. I was like, damn. I mean, Charlize, that's unbelievable. I mean, she is incredible.
Yeah.
Have you met her?
I haven't, but I was impressed with the work she put in for that.
Oh my God. She is the most amazing lady you can imagine. Really? Just absolute down to earth, works really hard. And she would train with us at 8711 and I would see her every day. That was, you know what? That was one of the most incredible things I've done in my career. So here I'm working with an Oscar winning actress who is 6 feet tall. She's not scared to get dirty and go and fight. I mean, we were beating the crap out of each other and she was not worried. She wanted me to go after her, of course, safely, but I went after her. I didn't pull punch. I went after her. And I will never forget, there was one part in the film at the very end when I throw her into the wall and I fall to the ground and we're both completely destroyed. So David came up with the idea with Sam Hargrave to do these long takes and then stitch it together. And I remember I'm off camera, I'm watching this Oscar winning actress take a hit, fall to the ground. She plays the pain. She crawls against the floor. And I'm looking at her, I go like, oh my God, this is incredible. How good she was. And I got so inspired. And I went like, watch this. And I come into camera and I do my thing. And that's one of my favorite fights ever. And if you really, and you as an expert martial artist, really not much martial arts we did. It's just very vicious, vigorous, just dirty and nasty. But nobody cares if I kick or punch. It was more about the acting in that fight. This was so incredible. And here she hits me with this cooker, this hot plate. Bam, boom, wang. She is just, I mean, she is something else, I tell you that.
Yeah, that fight is the way actually, I mean, probably a necessity, but you're playing up to the how tired everyone is and beaten down. You know, no one's a superhero.
And here she gets me. Bam! And then this is one of my favorite moments. Here I think I have her and she stabs me in the eye. Bam! She stabs me. And now watch this. This is so cool. From all the films David Leitch has made, this is actually my favorite film.
Great music.
Yeah, he's a total music guy. He loves the 80s.
No, it's fabulous. Amazing sequence. Yeah, that's what it's all about right there. Now, this is fantastic. And this was about not editing. This
was insane. I mean, watch this. No cuts. We had to do a full master. And it's what? Is it about a 3-minute fight? One master. Everything. No cuts. It was so tough. And this guy is a very good stuntman.
Yeah, and I knew it wasn't going to be Hayden.
And he's totally fine about that. And that guy was so freaking strong. This is real. I'm fighting him for real. I had to fight this guy, but that's why it makes it. This is real. I mean, there's no acting here. We were going at it.
Doing a long take, you have to make sure that those hits are sinking in, don't you, to the body?
Because... And you see that smack you just did here? That was a real smack. The director told me from the very beginning, he said, you're absolutely wrong for this part. I'm looking for a guy who's short, bald, and chubby. And I'm like, okay, that's not me. He's been casting for like a month, couldn't find anybody. All my friends already read for the part. And he wanted somebody who really understands about doing nothing. And he told me, he goes, I want you to do nothing. And you know, you've been in drama school. I understood what that meant.
Yeah.
And a lot of people had a hard time. But this was actually really funny. He comes crawling out. Watch, I grab him, and I knock myself out.
Yeah. Now, who came up with that idea? Is that in the script or?
This was actually my idea here.
Oh, that's perfect.
That was actually my idea.
You could imagine that actually happening, though, couldn't you?
And then watch this. This is one of my... Finally, I could do the nunchucks. And then it was...
You waited 25 years.
I swear to God, nobody ever lets me do nunchucks. And I remember I get the call from Wade and he goes, hey, Daniel, they really like you, but let me just ask you a question. do you know how to do nunchucks by any chance? And I'm like, give me 5 minutes. I was at 87-11. I'm doing a video with two nunchucks, and I send him the video, and I go, well, this is what I can do.
But it's hilarious that you're showing your skills to this hitman. Look at what I can do. I'm going to do
it. Oh, this is funny. How did you come across this? How did you see this in England?
Oh, I watched that. That is great.
Oh, you have that show back in England?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's such a good show, huh?
So I want to talk about a fight scene now, Dan, that you admire that doesn't feature me or you. And that's Hero, right?
One of my favorite martial art action movies. Just absolutely love that film. I think the director did a fantastic job with how he tells the story in this fight.
Yes, it's beautifully shot. He's seeing the fight in his head, how the many different ways it can go. That's what I'm taking from this.
And you had the pleasure fighting him, right?
I fought both of these chaps, Donnie Yen and Ip Man 4, but also so Jet Li.
Wow, I'm actually almost jealous. This is I didn't realize you fought Jet Li, but this is incredible.
I fought them all, Dan, except for you.
Oh, my God.
We've got to make it happen.
Maybe I'm too old.
Me too. It's okay. We'll do old style.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think? Do you think they shot this 22, 23 frames, or do you think it was shot 24?
I think with weapons, it automatically looks pretty fast. When you're twirling these weapons around, you don't really want to make that look quicker than it is sometimes. So I think they'll decide, depending on the shot, whether they need to go under crank it or over crank it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, my goal is that I can just keep doing this, and I train. I'm trying to be as safe as I can. Try to make sure my body will keep up, but hopefully I want to do fight scenes. My goal is to do fight scenes with 60, you know, but do fight scenes that matter.
Done some fantastic stuff over the years, Daniel. And
right back at you.
Oh, yeah. No, I appreciate you doing this, and you keep it up, mate. We've got plenty of stuff to come, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot to come. There's a lot of good stuff is happening, so I'm very excited.
Brilliant.
Very excited.
Okay, thanks then, Daniel.
Yeah.